Well, this whole week we've been talking mostly from the book of James. And in James chapter 1, there's that great couple of verses. And the ones I want to focus on just for our transition, because I've been telling you that James chapter 1 in these verses gives us, it ties in with the truth that we also see from the Old Testament, which is in Deuteronomy. We're going to look at Deuteronomy in just a couple of minutes. But the verses we were looking at in James the last couple of days were James chapter 1. And basically, I want to focus on verse number 15. Verse number 15 says, then evil. And verse number 14 is talking about how a person is tempted when they're drawn away or enticed away by their evil desires. And then verse 15 says, then the evil desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. When it's fully matured, brings forth death. So if we give ourselves over to those evil desires, in other words, if I put in my mind or I think about or I open myself up to an evil desire, once I have done that, I have conceived within me, within my life, I have then conceived what's going to wind up being the birth of sin. So that evil desire, once it's conceived in my mind, is going to produce a birth. And we understand that in this life, conception takes place. Man and a woman, conception takes place. And once conception takes place, the eventual outcome is going to be the birth. And this is talking about the birth of sin. So the evil desire, once it's conceived, gives place to the birth of sin, which leads to destruction and death. What I want us to think about or focus on is the fact that there is a really powerful, that's a really powerful statement. When we conceive something in our minds, when we give ourselves over in our thoughts, when we conceive something in our minds, there is a result. We're responsible for the things that we conceive in our minds. We're responsible to make sure that we keep our minds focused on the things of God. That's a tough, tough thing to do in this culture, because we are surrounded by so many things that are either compromises to the Word of God, and that's the best case scenario. So many things in our culture actually reflect the polar opposite of the Word of God. It's things that, so many of the things in our culture that our culture accepts and flaunts are contrary to the Word of God. It's the opposite. It's contrary to His promises. And we're surrounded by that. You can't go anywhere and not be faced with those kinds of things. So it is hard for us to not give ourselves over to conceive of evil and to give ourselves over to evil thoughts and evil desires, because we're surrounded with the images of evil desires. We're surrounded by things that tempt us to think towards evil things, to desire evil things. And what James is instructing us through the wisdom and through the insights, inspiration of the Holy Spirit, James is telling us that we have a responsibility to protect the things that we think about. Because once we give ourselves over to evil desires, that which is contrary to the Word, once we give ourselves to it, then conceived inside of us is that sin, which is going to be produced, which is going to be birthed out of us. And the result of that sin is going to be, it brings destruction. It tears down and destroys the blessings that God has planned and intended for your life. It rips them out of the way and leaves us devastated, leaves us confused. It's very hard in this culture to not see. We can try to protect ourselves, and we do need to try to protect ourselves. It's hard not to see those things. But this is why it's so important that we keep our mind on Jesus Christ and on His Word. This is why it's so vitally important that we always have Jesus present in front of us, His Word present in front of us. And we're meditating on the Word. We're thinking about the Word. We're thinking about Him. We're spending time in Him. Because in so doing, what we're doing is actually protecting our minds. Protecting our minds so that we don't conceive. We don't conceive those evil desires. We don't conceive that sin from giving ourselves over to those evil desires. Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, James is making sure that we understand that we have a responsibility to protect our thoughts, to protect what goes into our minds and our thoughts. Now again, you're going to be surrounded today. You're going to be confronted with people either speaking about things and telling you things that are totally objectionable and totally at odds with the Word of God. You're going to see those things on television. You're going to hear it on the radio. You're going to see it in publications. You're going to read it in books. You know, whatever you do, you're going to be touched by the harshness of the reality that this world is opposed, is contrary to the Word of God. Now, because we have those things, and because the world accepts those things as the norm, as saying these things are normal and acceptable, it's easy for us to yield to that. And once we do that, once we look towards or find acceptable or as the norm things that are contrary to the Word of God, we've then not protected our minds and our thoughts. And we've opened ourselves up for what's going to, we've given conception, we've conceived within us that evil desire, which is going to give birth to sin, which is going to cause us problems, heartaches, disappointments. This is what James is saying. You and I must diligently protect our thoughts, and we do that by being in the Word of God. You know, I used to work for an organization, even as a Christian, I worked for an organization that there was probably 30-some people that I associated with. There's more than that, but the ones that I associated with was probably about 30 different people. And I think there was maybe one other believer in that group. At some times, there might have been two other believers. But it was a pretty small number. And in fact, most of the people, the vast majority of them, were very much of the world and were very much counter to. Did not believe the things that I believed by any means whatsoever. And their lives and the things they lived were counter to the Word of God. So every day I was subjected to stories, to all kinds of images and illustrations that were contrary, and verbiage that was contrary to the Word of God, surrounded by it every time. And this was a part-time job, and every day I would be subjected to that. I had to make sure that I was strong in the Word, that I had to make sure that I was spending time in the Word. There was a lot of times I had to make sure that I was praying on my way over there, just spending time with God. Not saying that, oh, God, pray, protect me. Not that at all. Just being with Him. Because as I'm with Him, my mind is filled with Him. And I am protecting my mind from everything else I'm going to be subjected to. You're going to be assaulted by the world today with things that are compromises or are straight polar opposites of the Word of God. You're going to be assaulted by those things. Are you ready for it? Because if you're not ready, then your mind gives itself over and finds acceptable the things that the world finds acceptable. This is where you conceive sin, and then sin does, you do give them birth to sin, and that causes problems, frustrations, disappointments, bondages in our life later that we don't want to have to deal with. This is what James is warning us against. And this even goes to the extent, and I want to read this to you in Deuteronomy chapter 40, chapter 28. As I said yesterday, Deuteronomy chapter 28 is part of, these are a couple of chapters where God is talking through Moses. Well, he's talking through Moses throughout, but I mean in chapter 28, he's speaking through Moses and talking about the blessings that come with obedience and the curses that come from disobedience. As I said yesterday, we need to remember as we read this that we're not under the law. We're not under the Old Testament. So we're not bound by the curses. But when you read what the curses are, the great thing about reading the blessings and the cursings is it shows you all the good things that God has for us in Jesus Christ. We see that in the blessings. And those blessings are marvelous. But we also see the heart of God and how He feels about curses, because there's far more things listed under the curses, because God knew that the Israelites would yield themselves to the cultures that were around them, just as we are so often surrounded by a culture that is contrary to the kingdom of heaven. Well, God knew that the Israelites, being surrounded by these cultures who were foreign to Him and were against the kingdom of God, He knew that the Israelites would make the wrong choices. And so you see, in preparation for that, He gives them all the warnings. He says, this is what's going to happen if you disobey. Here's the curses for disobedience. Now again, we are not subject to the curses because we're not under the curse in Jesus Christ. But it gives us an example of the heart, how God feels about these things. In verses 47 and 48 of Deuteronomy chapter 28, we're told that because you did not serve the Lord your God, so He's speaking to the Israelites and saying, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything, therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you, in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in need of everything. And He will put a yoke of iron around your on your neck until He has destroyed you. That's pretty strong. That's pretty harsh. It's not what God wants, but God's saying this is the result. This is what happens. When you disobey and you give yourself to sin, this is what's good. This is the end result. this is what's going to happen. You know, the irony is, he said, because you did not serve. He's already pointing out, you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. He's already pointing out, you have everything. I have provided and given you everything. And yet you did not, even though you had everything, you didn't serve the Lord with joy, with gladness of heart, even though you had everything. And because of that, even though they had everything, in that next verse, they wind up with nothing. You'll be in need of everything. You'll have nothing. Why? Because they did not serve God with joy. Because they did not serve the Lord with joy and gladness of heart, even though they had everything. Now, what's striking to me, I'm going to read these two verses to you from the Amplified Bible. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness of mind and heart, in gratitude for the abundance of all with which he has blessed you. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you in hunger and thirst and nakedness and want of all things, and he will put a yoke upon your neck until he has destroyed you. This is what it's saying. The people are being held responsible. Now, again, remember, this is under the old covenant. You and I don't live under the old covenant. I'm not sharing this with you to cause you to be fearful. But I want you to see that just like we saw in James, there's an expectation that we will be responsible for what we think and what we feel. We're responsible for the thoughts that go into our mind, and we're responsible even for our feelings and emotions. Boy, that is really, you don't often think about that, but that's exactly what's taking place. He said to the people, because you didn't serve the Lord your God with joyfulness, with joy and gladness of heart, those are emotions. God's saying, I gave you everything, and it wasn't enough. You did not have joy in your heart. I gave you everything. And even though I gave you everything, you had no joy and you had no gladness in appreciation. He's holding them responsible, even for their feelings. They could have, and they should have, chosen to be joyous. God's not going to hold them responsible for something that's impossible for them to do. See, the flesh would say, well, I can't help it. You know, I was just depressed. I was discouraged. I just could not get myself out of that depressed feeling. And we would still say that today sometimes. Well, it's not my fault. I can't help it. I grew up and my parents suffered with discouragement, depression. I'm just not a happy person. I'm not an overly joyous person. You know, it's hard for me to find joy. You know, this is telling us that's not acceptable. It's not an acceptable answer. Now, that sounds harsh, but here's the good news that goes along with it. It's not an acceptable answer. Why? Because you have the joy of the Lord in you. You have the joy of the Lord in you. Because if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've accepted the sacrifice that he made on your behalf, if you've made him Lord and Savior, then his Spirit dwells within you. And part of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. So that joy is in you. Even though you may not feel that joy today, in your flesh, in your own natural mind, you might feel frustration, you might feel discouragement, you might even feel depression. But the truth of the matter is, joy is in you. And you might say to that, well, I don't feel that. That was the problem the Israelites had. They gave themselves over to what they felt in their minds. That's exactly what it says in the Amplified. Because you didn't serve the Lord with joyfulness of mind and heart. In other words, because they didn't feel it in their emotions, they didn't feel it in their mind, they assumed there was no joy. But the reality is, there was the joy that could be stirred up. And it's even more true for you and I, because we have the joy of the Lord. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit that is in you. So his joy is already in you. Well, I don't feel it. That's because you're only relying upon what you can feel with your emotions. You don't feel the spiritual things with your natural senses and with your natural mind and with your natural heart, but it's in your spirit. Well, I still can't feel it, so how do I know it's in me? Because you are spirit, soul, and body. And a third of who you are is spiritual. A third of who you are is spirit being. A third of who you are. And so a third of who you are has the Holy Spirit in you, and his joy is in you. So joy is in you. Now, it's up to me to choose whether I'm going to give myself over to joy or whether I'm going to give myself over to depression. Easiest thing in the world to do is, if circumstances aren't going well, to give myself over to discouragement or even depression and say, well, you know, it's not my fault. Look at my circumstances. Of course, I'm joyless. Of course, I'm depressed. Well, you can do that. But that's not acceptable or justifiable before the Lord, because he knows that he has placed his joy within you. So how do I get it from my spirit, which I can't feel, into my soul, which I can feel? And we think that's a hard thing. It's not a hard thing. If you know and believe that the joy of the Lord is in you, if you truly believe the joy of the Lord is in you, if you know that, then you bring that from that spiritual realm, which you can't feel with your natural senses, with your emotions, your mind, but you bring it from that spiritual realm, and a third of you is spirit, so that joy is in there. You bring it from your spirit to your soul by just acknowledging his goodness, by praising him, by thanking him. As you're doing that, you're opening up your soul, then opens up to your spirit. And the truth of the spirit and the reality of the spirit then floods from your spirit into your soul, which is your mind, your thoughts, your emotions. It floods into your soul, into your mind, your thoughts, and your emotions, and you actually then experience and feel that joy. In the same way that God was telling the Israelites that they had a responsibility for their feelings, and they could have chosen to be joyous because God had given them everything. That's even more true for you and I in Jesus Christ. We have absolutely everything. They had everything in the natural. In other words, God was going to meet all their natural needs. But we have everything in the natural. He's going to provide for all your natural needs, but he's also provided for all your spiritual needs. Everything you need, he's already taken care of. The Israelites could have and should have chosen to be joyous and grateful to him. And he held them responsible for their choice. He held them responsible for not operating in joy. And because of that, sin conceived in their emotions. This is exactly what we see in James. Sin conceived in their emotions. And once that sin was conceived, because they chose to believe what they felt rather than what the truth was, and they could see that God had provided everything for them, but they didn't serve God with joy. They didn't serve God with joy in their hearts, joy in their minds, and with gratitude. They didn't serve God with gladness of heart. They gave themselves over to the emotions. They gave themselves over to discouragement and disappointment. And sin was conceived in their emotions because of that. We have the same responsibility. Never let that sin enter into our hearts and minds we need to understand that we have control over our emotions and how we feel. We do. And you might think that's a foreign thing. But God has said clearly, if you don't want to sin, if you don't want to conceive sin, then make sure you're taking care of your emotions. And don't give yourself over to anger. Don't give yourself over to frustration. Don't give yourself over to depression. All of these things will lead, because it's the things of the world. And it leads us to being bound up in those things of the world. This is a great revelation. If you can understand that God does hold us responsible for emotions, but he holds us responsible only because he's given us the answer. That is great news, because that means I don't have to be depressed. I don't have to be angry. I don't have to be discouraged today or frustrated. I can choose to be joyous, because even more than the Israelites, I can see every good thing. He's provided everything for me. So let's serve him today with joyness, joy in our minds, gladness in hearts.